Hear him this morning, Lord willing, we'll hear him this evening, and then don't forget, we will have a Wednesday night service this week for those who will come and enjoy the gospel with us. Brother Cody, we're getting your speaker ready here. Come on.
Good to be with you all again. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Brethren in Kingsport send their love and greetings, and on behalf of Gabe and all of us, we want to express our sincere gratitude for your continued help with our building. We're very thankful, and it really means a lot to us. Look with me here in Mark 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. The Lord Jesus Christ, he entered into a house, and he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Does that grasp your attention like it does mine? How in the world could he not be hid? This is God we're talking about. This is God Almighty. This is the sovereign. This is the ruler of heaven and earth. This is he who has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And you mean to tell me he wanted to be hidden, but he couldn't? How is that? This is the same one who walked right through the midst of a people who walked him up on a cliff and were ready to throw him over the edge. Walked right through him. And here we read he could not be hid. This is the Lord of glory. How could he not be hid? I'll tell you why. He did not come into this house to hide. He didn't come to this world to hide. He didn't come there to be alone. We're not going to read it, but he had just departed from the scribes and the Pharisees and the multitude. He would not have them to know where he was going. We know that multitudes often followed him. He didn't want them to know where he was going. But everywhere our Lord ever went, he went on purpose. Everywhere he ever went, he went on purpose. What was his purpose? The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose. You see, he hid himself. I just mentioned it, from the scribes and the Pharisees. He hid himself from the wise and the prudent. And he's about to reveal himself to a babe. And I sure love this passage of Scripture. See, just as he must needs go through Samaria, our Lord must needs enter this house. The shepherd must seek out his sheep. The end of verse 24 says, he entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid for a certain woman. You see that? Why was he here? Why could he not be hid? For a certain woman. He came here for this woman. Our Lord often went to be alone. And the two things I read of, reasons that he went to be alone, were to pray unto his Father, or to meet up with one of his people and reveal himself to them. And that's exactly what he's going to do right here. God has a certain, a particular, a chosen people whom he's purposed to save. In John 10, he said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." That's why he's here. Now let me show you something back in Ezekiel chapter 34. Turn with me. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." We're the sheep. We've been scattered. We've wandered off far from God. And praise God, our shepherd came to seek us, and he will find us. Perhaps you are a lost sheep who's not yet been found. If you're his, he's going to find you. He will find his sheep, every single one of them. Not one of them shall be lost. Why could he not be hid? He had a lost sheep whom he must find. He came here for her to save her. Now let's see how she came to him. This is beautiful. Turn back to Mark 7, verse 25. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The first thing I want us to see about this woman, she heard of him, and she came to him. We will not come to Christ until we hear of him. She's about to call upon the name of the Lord. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How is she going to call upon him in whom she has not believed? How is she going to believe in him of whom she has not heard? We must hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God had given this woman faith. How do we know? Because she came to Christ. That's what faith does. Faith goes to Christ. Only to Christ. Faith runs to him. It flees to him. Clings to him. We're going to see it. This woman, she clung to him. By the grace of God, she had nowhere else to go. She ran to him. She clung to him. For what? For everything. Whatever it is, brother and sister, run to him. Cling to him. If God's given us faith, we will go to him and him alone. She came to him believing on him, believing that he alone was able to meet her need. How do we read that God shall supply our need? In Christ Jesus, where all the fullness of God dwells. All our needs he is able to supply. Verse 25 again, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." How did this woman come? She came falling down at his feet. You know what that tells us? She came helpless. Absolutely helpless. Needy. I don't know of one time in my life where I've physically fallen down at someone's feet. I don't think I have. But if we're going to come to Christ, that's exactly how we must come. Absolutely helpless. In my hand, no price I bring. We cling to him and him alone. The only way to come to Christ is with a need. This woman, she did not come to him as the Pharisees did. The Pharisees came causing trouble. They never came to the Lord with a need. Lord willing, we'll look at this tonight. The Pharisee prayed he had no need of anything. He thought he met his own need. Pharisees, they never came to the Lord with a need. They never fell at his feet. You remember Jairus, or Jairus, however you want to say it. He came to the Lord. His daughter was dying. He came just like this woman came. He came falling down at his feet. And the Lord raised her from the dead. We must come to Christ like this woman, as a needy, helpless sinner. And I love noticing where she took her place: at his feet. I got to thinking about this. If our Lord was physically here in our midst, first of all, I'd be running that pew as fast as I could. And I pray that all of us would sit at his feet. Like our sister Mary. Martha, poor thing, just cumbered about with much serving, running here and there and trying to do something for the Lord. And I admire her for that. I really do. Oh, to be a Martha. But oh, to be a Mary. She hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We're going to sit at his feet forever, brethren, praising him who hath done all things well. Verse 25 again. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. This woman, she came in faith, she came with a need, and she came for her daughter. She begged the Lord to remove this unclean spirit, this devil, from her daughter. Lord, save my daughter. Now I'll just point out, we're not concerned with the souls of our loved ones until we're concerned with our own soul. And by nature, none of us are. But the Lord had obviously done something for this woman, and she came bringing her daughter before him. Now, in reading this, many of the writers suppose that this lady was a widow and that this young daughter was all the family she had. I don't know. But I do know this. She loved her daughter. Oh, she loved her daughter. How do you know? She brought her before the Lord. She brought her to the only one who could possibly do anything for her. She cared for her soul. If we love someone, we care for their soul. It's the first thing we care for. Lord, save them. Save him. Save her. Please, Lord. It's the only thing that matters. She came to the Lord believing that only he could do something for her. You know only God can do something for you. I can't do anything for you. Donnie can't do anything for you. Only the Lord can save us. And I pray he would. Now move your bookmark, if you will, over to Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 15. We won't be coming back to Mark. Matthew 15, verse 22. And on this matter of our loved ones, while we can't save them, there is something we can do for them. We can pray for them. This woman, she prayed for her daughter. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. No doubt that speaks of our Lord, but I believe it speaks of God's people as well. If you care for someone, you pray for them. Never stop praying for them. Never stop praying for them. Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She cried, Have mercy on me. Well, I thought she came here for her daughter. She did. Absolutely, she did. Then why does she cry, Have mercy on me? See, she needed mercy too. She didn't just come for her daughter. She needed mercy herself. They both needed the same thing. Mercy. Where would we be without it? It's the only thing we need. See, our Lord physically healed many people. You can read about it right after this text. And in chapter 14, He healed many. But this woman wasn't just interested in a physical healing. She had a need that went far beyond this physical body. She had a need in her soul. I thought of those 10 lepers. They said, "God, have mercy on us." And the Lord, He sent them to the priest, and they were washed and they were physically cleansed. And how many turned back and gave glory to God and came to Him and fell at His feet and worshipped Him? How many? One. You know what I believe that means? Our Lord physically healed 10. He only saved one. This woman, I promise you, she wasn't just interested in her daughter being physically healed. She needed herself and her daughter to be spiritually saved from their sin. And that's what we need. There's just one thing I need. What you need. We need mercy. See, we've sinned against God. And we deserve to die in our sins. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Pardon for our sin. Is that what you need? We're about to have a little baby. What does she need? She needs a lot of things that, Lord willing, we're going to provide for her by the grace of God. But there's just one thing she needs. That's the mercy of God in Christ to put away her sin. Like that poor publican cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm just a sinner. Lord, save me." The only place we're going to find God's mercy is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He took our place. He suffered the wrath of our sin, that our sins were laid on Him, and He bore it all for us. Praise God. The Lord came here for this woman. And we see how she came to Him. Now we know we come to Him because He first came to us. No man can come except the Father draw us. We love Him because He first loved us. Alright? Now let's see how the Lord answered her. She came as a mercy beggar. How's our Lord going to deal with this poor woman? Matthew 15 verse 23. "But He answered her, not a word." Does that surprise you like it does me? I can't get over this. Here she comes crying exactly the way we're supposed to cry. Exactly the way we will cry if God ever quickens us to life in Christ. And then He didn't even answer her. How do you explain that? Is this the same one who stood still for blind Bartimaeus when he cried the same thing? Is this the one who told that thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise"? Is this the one who healed that leper? Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. "Lord, if you will." Is this the same one who did these things? Yep. Then why didn't he answer her? Let me ask you this. Did he have to? You pray for God to save you. Does He have to? Does He owe it to us to do anything for us? Have we earned His favor? "Well, I did this. Now God's going to..." No! We've earned His wrath. He didn't have to do anything for her. And He doesn't have to do a thing for you or me. He said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." It's His to give. You give a gift to somebody, you decide where that gift goes. I believe you do, don't you? He said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." He didn't know it to her, but He's going to show it to her. Oh, that makes me rejoice. See, what He's doing by not answering her immediately, He's trying her faith. Our faith must be tried. The life of a believer is not easy. I know you've heard it mentioned a million times, but as a believer, it just gets harder and harder. Many of you have experienced that. It gets harder and harder. He's going to try her faith. Now, here's what's going to happen. One of two things. Either she's going to get offended. This is a hard saying. I can't take it anymore. I'm going away. Either that, or she's just going to keep on crying unto him. When we hear the gospel preached, we can either run and trust in ourselves. No need of God. Forget it. I'll just help myself. I'll just go my own way. I'll establish my own righteousness. Or we'll keep on crying, Lord, have mercy on me. Save me. Hear my humble cry. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. What'd that woman do? She just kept on crying. She kept on crying. See, that's what a true sinner's going to do. That's what a desperate, helpless, needy sinner is going to do. They're just going to keep on crying because that's all we can do. Like Peter, we have nowhere else to go. To whom shall we go? Those poor disciples, they just, Lord, send her away. We're getting tired of her. We can't take it anymore. She's driving us crazy. Send her away, please. I thought of that unjust judge. This woman came. She was crying to the judge. And finally, he just said, I'm just going to give you what you want, so you'll just leave me alone. You'll quit coming to me. Aren't you so glad our Lord will never get weary of our continual coming unto Him? He said, come to me. It gives Him joy when sinners come to Him. Disciples said, just send her away. Let's move on. Let's go on to the next city. Was our Lord going to send her away? Not a chance. Not a chance. Isaiah 65:24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. I already told you, the Lord came here for her. He's here for her. He may not have answered her a word yet, but He came here for her. He's going to hear her. He's going to save her. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. He may not have physically answered her yet, but He heard her. He heard her. And He's going to answer her. We need to remember, as we go through this life, God's delays are not denials. God may not give us what we want right now. He may not give us what we want at all. But I can tell you this, He's going to give us what we need. And we need to trust Him. Trust Him. God give us grace to trust Him. Verse 24. Disciples said, send her away. But He answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told His disciples, I'm not going anywhere. I've got unfinished business. I came here for this woman. But we need to notice, we already read this woman was a Greek. She was a Gentile. We know she was a lost sheep, but she's not of the house of Israel. She's not a Jew. She's not a Jew. She was a Gentile heathen woman. Let me show you something. Romans 9. Turn with me if you will. Romans chapter 9. Verse 22. Romans 9, 22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Verse 25, he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. It's not physical Israel. It's not the physical lineage of Israel that shall be saved. They're not all Israel which are of Israel, but all spiritual Israel, all of God's people, all God's elect, chosen in Christ, all of them shall be saved. In Christ there's no difference. We read it in Colossians 3. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. Christ is all and in all. See, the house of Israel is the house of sinners. Israel was Jacob. Jacob was a sinner, wasn't he? It's the house of sinners. Christ came to save sinners. This woman, she'd be the first to tell you, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Back in our text, Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. What a prayer. Lord, help me. She just heard him declare the gospel. I'm sent for the lost. Did she get offended at that? No. She worshipped him. If God has saved us, when we hear the gospel, we're going to hear what we are. We're going to hear that we've sinned against God. We're going to hear that this flesh is nothing good. It's a rotting flesh. It ain't getting any better. And by God's grace, we'll do what this woman did. Worship Him. We'll worship Him. Lord, help me. She said, you're my only hope. I'm trusting in you, Lord. What a place to be. I pray that if you've not, that God would bring you to this place. I pray He'd bring me to this place, right where this woman was, right at His feet. Lord, help me. Look at verse 26. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. This woman's already had a couple chances to get offended. He didn't answer, told her she's lost. Now he says, you're a dog. It just wouldn't be right for me to bestow this goodness to you. No, it wouldn't. You're unworthy. Yep. I know it. I'm unworthy. I told you, this flesh is just going to say this a hard saying. And we'll go away. Will you also go away if left to ourselves? Yes, we will. Gone with the wind. See, it's the grace of God that teaches us what we are. Are you offended when God calls His people dogs? Does that offend you? You want to be His dog, don't you? It's God's grace that reveals to us what we are. And it's God's grace that causes us to believe Him. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour we first believed. This is my favorite part of the message right here, this woman's response. Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. Don't you love that? All that He has said unto her. That's such a hard message, isn't it? Such a hard thing to receive. That really hits us where it hurts, doesn't it? Crushes our pride. Truth, Lord. I believe everything You said about me. Amen, Lord. But even still, I come to You. Fall down at Your feet. Got nowhere to go. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, I'm just a dog, but You're my master. Oh, would You be my master? We don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. And when He reveals to us that He is our Lord, what a blessing. Then we come unto Him boldly and beg Him for mercy and grace. And I love this too. Our Lord said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." She didn't ask for bread. She said, "Lord, would you please just let some crumbs fall my way?" We need to be content with whatever He's pleased to give us, because He don't owe us anything. If He wanted to eat the whole steak, and including the fat, that's His right. He didn't have to let it fall down to the floor. Depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear, me, the chief of sinners, spare? I can't help but think of Mephibosheth reading this text. You remember David, King David. Saul was his enemy. And yet he purposed in his heart, he said, "Is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness unto him for Jonathan's sake?" Ziba came, he told him, he said, "Yeah, Jonathan had a son. He's lame on both his feet." Mephibosheth, shameful thing. David said, "Fetch him, bring him to me." And he brought him to David. And Mephibosheth, just like this woman, he fell down and did reverence. And David told him what he's going to do for him. He didn't tell him, "Now, Mephibosheth, you're going to have to fix your problem. You're lame. You're going to need to walk on your own, okay?" He said, "You're going to eat at my table, but you're going to have to get there yourself." That's not what he said. He said, "You're going to eat at my table." And at the very end of that chapter, you know what it said? It said he sat and ate at the king's table continually. It said he was still lame on both his feet. What was Mephibosheth's response to David's kindness unto him, to David's mercy? Here's what he said, just like this woman. He said, "What is thy servant? I'm your servant. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon?" Forget everything else he did for him. "Who am I that you should look upon me, such a dead dog, as I am?" That's what he said. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" This woman, she took her place at his feet as his dog. Mephibosheth said, "I'm just a shameful dog." What faith. What faith. Why does God show kindness unto us? Just like David, for Jonathan's sake, for Christ's sake. We're saved to the praise of the glory of His grace, not our own, that we might be to His glory, trophies of His grace. Now look here in our text, verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." The Lord had mercy on her, and He healed her daughter. We read in Mark's account that she went home and she saw her daughter sitting on the bed. I just want to close by considering this real quick. Our Lord commended her faith. Great is thy faith. What was it about her faith that was so great? Her faith was in Christ. All true faith is in Him, only in Him. She heard of Him. She came to Him. She fell down at His feet. She prayed to Him. She cried to Him, "Have mercy on me." When confronted with the truth over and over again, she just kept crying to Him. She didn't leave. She worshipped Him and kept praying to Him alone. "Lord, I come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Great is the faith that God gives. And that great faith looks to Christ alone forever and always. Our faith is in Him. Oh, to be like this woman, to be the Master's dog. Don't you want to be His dog? I pray that God would give us this great faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much to read of your mercy to sinners. We know that's what we are by your grace. And we know that we don't deserve anything but your wrath and your judgment. But Lord, we find great comfort in knowing what you've been pleased to do for those who can't help themselves. I pray that each soul here might be like this woman, that we might be your dog, that we might need you. Lord, everyone in this world by nature, we don't need you, we don't think about you, we don't have any care, any concern for the only thing that matters. Lord, I pray that you would do for us what we could never do for ourselves, that you would make us hunger and thirst after you. We know that you meet our need in Christ. We come to you pleading him, his blood, his righteousness for the redemption of sin, forgiveness of sin. Lord, save us for Christ's sake. Have mercy on us for his sake, for his honor, his glory. Lord, we bring our lost loved ones before you like this woman, and we beg you to save them as you've saved us. Lord, keep saving us. You are such a great God, so glorious, so merciful. Please show mercy to sinners for Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sin. Bless us and keep us, Lord. Cause us to rejoice in thee and thy wonderful works. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Cody. Let's turn in our other hymn book. Number 31, Oh, How Merciful. And let's stand and sing it together. Number 31 in this little hymn book. Mm-hmm.